Dakota is farm country. We are surrounded by corn and sunflowers, wheat and cattle. And we'll soon see farmers plowing their fields and seeding their crops and fertilizing it. And then we'll watch as the plants grow and then flower. And we will enjoy the yellows and the blues and the greens. And finally, the harvesting will come and the marketing. This is an ancient cycle that has been going on for thousands of years. And there is a spiritual principle that is taken from this cycle of sowing and reaping. And it's mentioned actually many times in the Old and New Testaments. For example, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Do not be deceived," the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Galatia. "God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Paul saying, if you live a life of sin and rebellion against God and His commandments, if you sow wild oats, you will harvest weeds. You'll reap, Paul says, corruption. There's a spiritual and a physical harvest that is consistent with what you have sown in your life. But if you sow the seeds of faith and obedience to God, God promises that you will reap blessings. As we continue with Paul's discussion of giving in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, this morning I would turn your attention to chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, where Paul relates this principle of sowing to giving. He says, "I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." As Paul concludes this long discussion about giving, he brings up a relationship between sowing and reaping. And he relates this to a spiritual principle. That is, we reap according to how we have sown. And there are several things regarding giving or sowing that Paul refers to that we should take notice of. First, there's the principle of sowing, verse 6. It's a simple concept, one that we see all around us every year. We harvest according to what we sow. If you plant wheat seeds, you will not harvest corn. If you plant seeds thinly, the harvest will be small. What Paul is teaching is that this is true not only out in the fields, but it's true in our hearts, in our lives, in our conduct. It's true also, he says, and this is the application, in our giving. If we give sparingly to God and to others, then we will receive sparingly from God and others. As we give, so shall we receive. Take wheat, for example, since we're on wheat. Wheat farmers around here plant an average of 1.1 million seeds per acre. That's not something I just happened to know. I looked it up. And as a result, the average yield around here, and it depends on a lot of things, but around 25 to 30 bushels. So suppose a farmer wanted to plant a little less seed. He's going to save some money. And so he only plants 500,000 seeds per acre. Well, what I learned is, not being a farmer, is that the yield would be a proportionately smaller, maybe 10 to 15 bushels per acre. So a wheat farmer who wants the largest yield possible on his land is not going to skimp on the seeding, but rather plant the maximum that he can to get the maximum crop. Wheat farmers reap according to what they sow. And it's a principle that's true. The Bible teaches us in our spiritual lives as well. It's true of your grasp of the scriptures. You will grow in your understanding of God's word in relationship to the time you put in God's word, reading it, studying it. No time in the Bible, there will be no growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, of Scripture. No growing in your relationship with the Lord. Regular daily time in God's Word is going to produce, on the other hand, a crop, a steady growth, and an understanding of the things of God. God wants us to understand that this is true in our spiritual lives in general, and it's true in our giving as well. God's blessings to you are proportionate to your faithful and generous giving. Many Christians are sowing a half or a quarter of what they can or should sow, even while they expect bumper crops. But if you do not sow bountifully, Paul says you will reap sparingly. Now God gives some guidance for our sowing. He says, "So lest each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Paul has already said that we should give beyond our ability. And we should do so not by constraint, but because of love, because of a generous heart. And now he touches on two more aspects of giving that is pleasing to God, giving that is sowing, if you will, in a way that brings reaping abundantly of God's blessings. Our giving needs to be with purpose. An individual or as a family, your giving should be thoughtful. You should purpose in your heart. Another way of putting it is budget. Now, Paul was raised, as we saw in the adult Sunday school class this morning, as a strict Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he could easily have said, well, according to the law, you are to give 10%. That's what the law requires. But he doesn't say that, does he? Rather, he says that you should give as you plan in your heart. Now, the tithe, 10%, was in existence long before Moses. Abraham tithed. It's a good place to begin with your giving. It has a biblical basis, and for some it is a goal to strive for, to try to reach. For others, it's a baseline to start. But Paul adds something to this calculation. We are to give according to our heart's plan as we purpose. That word purposes means as we decide or choose. You calculate, you plan, you budget, and then you follow through. And part of this discussion has to do with those that have promised to give or purposed to give and then haven't come through yet. Paul is saying that your giving needs to be thoughtful, it needs to be budgeted, and then you need to put it into practice. You need to do it. Now, Jesus taught something about our ability that affects us as well. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, he says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. But to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." See, what you purpose to give may be more or less than 10%, and it's going to vary depending upon your ability. In the Old Testament, the tithe was given to the temple, to the priests. Alms were gifts given to the poor. In addition to that, what Paul indicates is that our gifts, even to the poor, are calculated by God as given to him as well. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but Jesus talks about this. Matthew chapter 28, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And he's talking about giving food or drink to the poor. In your giving, God also wants you to have a generous heart. Paul says, not grudgingly. Giving not because someone is twisting your arm, not because you have to, not because you've been made to feel guilty about it, but because you want to, because you have a generous spirit and love for the Lord. This idea of generosity in giving is a heavy theme in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 22, 9 says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." Proverbs 11, 25, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." Isaiah 32, 8, "But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand." Why give this way? Why should we do this? Because Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. God does not want you to give to him with resentment. He doesn't want you to give to him as a legal requirement that you have met and now everything's okay. You've done your chore. He wants you to give to him with thankfulness and with joy. You know, I'm excited to be able to give to the Lord this much. I'm so glad that I can help support the work of the kingdom in this way. This word cheerful that Paul uses is kind of interesting. Hilaro. Hilaros. Yes. We get the English word hilarious from it. God loves a hilarious giver. Now, it doesn't mean, Paul isn't saying what it sounds like to us in English. But it does have that idea of joy, that we give joyfully, that we're hilarious givers, not grudging, not stingy. Here's something to consider in your giving. How much can you give to the Lord with joy? God doesn't want you to resent your gift to him. Paul uses the word grudgingly. He wants you to be happy and excited that you're able to give, that God has blessed me so much I can give this. Paul is telling us that God wants us to give with a plan, but also to give with a joy and generously. So some of you, it might be 5% of your income, some 10%, some 20%. It's going to vary. Remember, in all of this, though, God wants your heart. God wants your love, not just some money. And we need to also realize it is impossible to love without giving. Love gives. The very concept of agape, of love. One of the words in the New Testament that we are commanded to have, love. That word has the idea of giving rather than taking. So, John 3:16, we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you truly love God, you will gladly give to him. That's what love does. But how can we sow generously if we have so little? Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. It seems that much of our giving is really not of faith, like the widow's mite was. Rather, our giving is out of plenty. We have extra this month, so we will give to the Lord. We're short this month, so we won't give to the Lord. But what God wants is for us to give in faith, trusting him, always keeping in mind God's goodness and sufficiency and ability to meet our needs. Look how Paul concludes this admonition about giving in verse 15. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. In all of our thinking about giving, we need to keep in mind what God has given to us, an indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, his Son. And in Christ we have, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. It is in Christ that we have eternal life, forgiven sins, earthly blessings, and glory awaiting us. Our giving to the Lord should be informed by the fact that God has kept back nothing from us. He has given to us his Son. And God is the source of all that we have, spiritually and physically. Well, back to verse 8. Our God is a God who gives abundantly. Therefore, we have confidence that God will provide anything and everything that we have need of. Paul reminds the Christians in Rome of this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he says, he who did not spare his own Son, so he's making reference again to the indescribable gift of Christ, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Joyful, generous, purposeful giving is possible when we have faith that God is able to supply our every need. And then in verse 10, Paul says, not only is God able to bless us, he will. And Paul relates the sufficiency of God to the principle of sowing. The world looks at those who are generous in giving to the work of the Lord as foolish. Well, we'll give a little bit because it helps with the taxes, or it soothes the soul, it takes away some guilt, but don't overdo it. But the wisdom of God, which is foolishness to the world, says giving is the way to increase, to blessing, so that you might reap. Not sparingly, but Paul says abundantly. Because our God is sufficient. He is a generous and a giving and a loving God. And so as we sow generously, God provides more abundantly. He increases our harvest. He blesses us. And it's not always spiritual. It is spiritual. And giving has a relationship to your spiritual health. But God often blesses physically as well, to those that are good stewards of all that He has placed in your hand. In 1 Kings, there's a most interesting account of the prophet Elijah. God sent a drought to Israel because of their sin. They became idol worshipers. They discarded the law of God. And they kept the tithe for themselves. And so God sent them a drought for 3.5 years. A severe drought. And one thing that we are reminded of in all of this is that, as always, saints, believers, people that are faithful to God, suffered in this judgment along with everyone else. But God instructed Elijah to go to a town named Zarephath. And there Elijah was to see a poor widow. And Elijah went there and he found her. And he asked her to give him some bread and water. The poor widow was out gathering sticks, and she responded, "Well, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little bit of oil in a jar. See, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Well, Elijah told her to do a very hard thing. Something that required strong faith. And that is, well, give to God first. And he said, "Don't fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first. And bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Well, the account tells us that the widow believed Elijah. She had faith in God. She trusted the Lord. She had real faith, not just verbal faith. And she gave what she seemingly could not afford to give. And God blessed her and supplied physically every need until the famine was over. The lesson here is not that you should give everything away like the widow of Zarephath. And God will miraculously provide for all of your needs. In fact, Jesus pointed out that the miraculous care of this widow was an exception to the rule and not the ordinary way that God operates. In Luke chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus said this, "I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, to a woman who was a widow." God wants us to trust Him, to live by faith, to give by faith, and not in fear, but in love, joyfully, hilariously. Always confident in God's goodness to us, His children. As Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We need to understand that God does not normally do that miraculously. He can if He wants to. Elijah and the widow was an exception. Usually God providentially provides for our needs through ordinary work, through maybe a bonus at work, through maybe extra sales, or maybe a gift from someone. But God does supply and care for His people. God asks us to give to Him, to sow, as we have seen, not because He needs our money, because God doesn't. He wants to teach us to live by faith. He wants to give us the blessing of being used by Him to bless others. God wants to include us in what He's doing. See, this is a blessing. It's not an obligation. It's not a burden. And God promises physical and spiritual blessings to us as a result. As we give generously in faith, rather than greedily holding on to what we have for ourselves, Paul says God will enrich us in every way that we can continue to be generous on every occasion. What would happen if wheat farmers ate their seed? Well, there'd be nothing to plant in the spring, would there? And there would be no harvest in the fall. If we're stingy and keep for ourselves all that God sends to us and places in our stewardship, we'll lose out on the harvesting that He would give to us. God cannot multiply what we have unless we sow it. And then He promises rich harvest. This kind of generous, joyful giving that is above our ability, beyond what the world thinks is wise and good, is really a matter of faith. Do you believe that God will meet your every need? Do you believe that God will care for you physically as well as spiritually? Do you believe that God will make you abound? Paul says, and so accordingly. And he lays out the result of such faith in beginning with verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Generous, joyful sowing, giving in faith as God calls us to do, ministers to the needs of others. It brings God's care to ourselves as He meets our own needs. It draws us closer to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, bearing one another's burdens. And it brings greater faith in our own lives as we see God working and blessing and caring for us. Paul also says that praise and prayer results from such giving, as God uses you to meet the needs of others, to provide funds for the work of God and what God is doing here at Bethel or in Japan or throughout the world. To help a brother or sister in need through the Deacon's Fund. You become a channel of blessing to others, which results in thanksgiving and praise to God. Listen to what Paul writes to the believers in Philippi. He says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all, and I abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Paul is grateful for their joyful, generous giving, but he adds that this does not leave them impoverished, because he goes on and says, "My God shall supply all your need as well." Giving as God calls you to give generously, joyfully, faithfully, becomes a means of glorifying God and a testimony to the ungodly around us. But it also results in people praying for you. Praying for you with thanksgiving. Upon every remembrance of you, as Paul puts it. They will rejoice in God's provision and pray for the vessel, you, that God used to bring that provision to them. You need to remember always that God is going to provide for his people and for his work. He's going to provide for the work of the kingdom. He's going to meet the needs of the needy, the widow, and the orphans, which the scripture tells us are dear to the heart of God. The question is whether or not you will be the means of blessing that God will use. You can think and give like the world, self-centeredly, sparingly. Or you can become a channel for God's blessing to others, and in the process also become the recipient of God's abundance yourself. What God is saying to you is that you will reap according to what you sow. And he wants you to give with purpose and joy and generosity and reap the abundant harvest as a result that he would give you. This is how the psalmist expresses it in Psalm 126:5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. May God grant us the joyful reaping of an abundant harvest. Shall we pray? Our Father, how good you are to us. How abundantly you provide for us. We thank you for that. We pray that you would work in us a spirit of generosity as well. That we might not be takers, but that we might be givers. That we might be open-handed toward you and toward others. We might have a heart that loves and gives, even as we enjoy and receive the blessings and gifts that you give to us. Oh, Father, we pray that we might fully express our love to you and to others through such a tangible means as our giving, and that through us, Christ, our Lord and Savior, might be exalted and lifted up. Hear us, we pray, in his name. Amen.